In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, God threatens to punish all who break his commandments. Therefore, we should fear his wrath and not do anything against him. He will not tolerate your sinful defiance or your sinful ignorance. He wants all to be saved. This is true. But he cannot change the way of salvation. He must be true to himself, his word, and his promises. Faith in Christ is it. If you do not have faith, then you have no salvation. So what? If you lived a pure, moral, and upright life without faith, you will be shut out. So what if you sat in a church pew or studied the scriptures or prayed? Without faith in Christ, you will be shut out. So what if you were baptized? Without faith in the promises of baptism, you will be shut out. God is serious about his commandments. He gives no exception to the time when you can ignore his word. He will not let his holy name be defiled by a slip of a tongue or by an exasperated gasp. He allows allegiance to no one else. He is jealous for his holy name, but he will throw out the unbelieving, bolt the door, and ignore their anguished cry, "I do not know you." A cold and eternal word. Unlike parents who threaten but never follow through, God always follows through. What he says, he does. Hell exists. He lit its fire. He keeps it burning. He sends men into its flames. Be warned. The 10 virgins do not symbolize the world, but they symbolize the church visible. That is all who call themselves Christians. Not everyone who says he is a Christian actually is. 5 are left out. They deceive themselves. They deceive others. They truly think they are Christians, but they are wrong. They have knowledge, but they have lost their faith. They have Bibles, but they have lost their faith. They have morality, but they have lost their faith. At one time, they did believe, but somehow, in some way, they fell. Usually, it's a slow, drawn-out process where they don't even realize the danger that they are in. They may even still pray and attend church, but they have lost their faith. And so they are weeds mixed in with the wheat, bad fish among the good, foolish virgins with the wise. And the Lord will not let them go on forever. He must be true to his name, his word, his promises. The watchman cries out from pulpit after pulpit, beckoning you and everyone who hears to wake up from your sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. How much longer do you think he will delay? You do not know the day or the hour, so let us cast off the works of darkness. Adultery and promiscuity are always sinful, even when your lovely grown children engage in them. Ignoring the word of God is always sinful, even though you may deem your neighbor to be a good person. You are not the judge, God is. So let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. The flesh must not control us. Don't let us rationalize sin. Don't live by your emotions. Sin must have no part of us. It brings only death and destruction. There's nothing. There's no such thing as a harmless sin. But every sin brings the full wrath of God's judgment. The bridegroom is coming. And if we are caught unawares, and the door will be slammed shut in our face. If we are caught impenitent, clinging to sin, or shrugging it off as no big deal, then we will not enter heaven. God must redeem his people. He promised to pull them out of the nations and to be their God and to set them free from sin. So he must separate the wise from the foolish. He must bring in the wise. He must lock out the foolish. They cannot be together forever. God has promised. And so Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. He still knew the promises. He still thought himself good and godly. He still taught his children and his wife. But he did not believe. Out of love for his people, God removed him. So in the days of Noah, how wicked that generation had become. Not their immorality, for their wickedness was not found in the way they lived their life. We are far more immoral than they ever were, but their wickedness was found in unbelief. And yet for 100 years, while Noah built the ark, God was patient with them and called them to repentance through Noah's preaching. Noah believed the promise of God's destruction. They did not. So the door was slammed shut in their face. And also of Lot's wife. And also Israel and Judah. And though God brought Judah back for the sake of the promise, Judah was cast out of God's presence once and for all in 70 AD. Add to that the parable after parable of Christ warning the church not to fall away. It is a constant danger. If you think you are standing firm, St. Paul admonishes, watch out. If you think you cannot fall, remember the 5 virgins. God is coming, and he will not let the unbeliever, the impenitent, remain with his church. You can't control God. You can't market him or sell him. You can't tame him. He is holy and he is just. He will not operate by your rules. He will not change his mind. I never knew you. It's cold and direct. Cain isn't invited to dinner. Noah's generation has no lifeboat. Lot's wife remains a pillar of salt. The Jews are met with destruction. All religions lead to hell except Christianity. He doesn't fit into our modern sensibilities of right and wrong, fair and equal, agreeing to disagree. 10 were waiting for him, all 10. But 5 were left out because they didn't meet his requirements. They lacked faith. He makes the rules, not you. And you can't be more merciful and loving than he. But you must believe that he is who he says he is. And he will do what he has promised to do. For the sake of his people, he will shut that door. So wake up from your spiritual slumber. Confess your sins and your fallen flesh. Confess your weaknesses. Like the apostles in Gethsemane, you have not always watched and prayed. Like the virgins, you have become drowsy in your faith and have played with sin. Like a child waiting for New Year's Eve, New Year's morning, you are too weak to make it on your own. Too much distracts, too much tempts. And that is why you have come here. You know you are just as weak and foolish as every other man. You can't conquer sin on your own. There's no waiting until next year for you then. There's no waiting until tomorrow or next week, for you believe that next may never come. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day the bridegroom comes in hidden ways to fill your flask with oil so you may meet him with joy and gladness. And it is that faith that makes you wise. The wisdom of the world is foolishness, but the wisdom of Christ is for your salvation. God has given you time. You did not drop over dead the moment that you caved to sin. He's given you a season of repentance. He is gracious and merciful to you. That midnight cry continues to ring in your ears from this pulpit, and by God's grace, you have repented. He is coming. With vengeance and divine retribution, you believe he is coming, and the earth will be set ablaze. The door of the ark of the church will be shut once and for all. And God's wrath will consume this earth. So like Noah, you have come in reverent fear. God alone is faithful. Like Peter, you have repented from your stumblings. God alone can save. He must fill up your flask. He must keep your faith burning brightly. He must be what he has promised to be, your Savior. So with eagerness you come to this Savior, lest the day overtake you. You are not curved inward toward yourself, but you all stand together facing the same direction because you look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come, and it comes solely from him who is present on this altar. You take him at his word. You believe he loves you. And so he warns you, so you might escape the coming judgment and enter with him into the marriage feast that shall have no end. For then the door will be shut, and every wicked and unbelieving and hypocrite will be cast out with Cain. But God will dwell with you in eternal light. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.